Thank you also to all the sponsors. Krishnas, Kabul, Yeshua, Fula, to everybody. Shobinach Tav, Nach Tav, Nasifshav, Sadiq, and Gomorrah, everybody healthy here. So first of all, it's always a special schus to speak together with my dear friend Charlie Mishol. Remember, it must be already close to 20 years ago that Shlomi Yona Weiss told me that he wants to introduce me to a friend of his. We were in the bungalow colony, and he wants to introduce me to a friend that's going to change the world. You know, Shlomi Yona says things like that all the time. The truth is, Shlomi Yona's also been changing the world, Baruch Hashem. And I said, okay, bring him on, Shlomi Yona, see who this guy is. And I saw within 30 seconds that's what we're talking about. And it hasn't been a disappointment. It's been an exciting ride together, Baruch Hashem, for us. And it's the biggest chus for him to be in our family here in Eish Kodesh. We should continue, Mitzvah Hashem, to learn together, to teach together, to daven together in Yerushalayim, Mitzvah Hashem. Charlie and I were just saying to each other that before my wife got up to read the sponsors, how you were having such a good time talking with each other. And the truth is that we felt, we both said, let's just walk out, let's slip out. Because I think we both have always felt that women can take care of themselves and each other, and men often get in the way. And you seem to have been doing great, enjoying each other, having conversations. I'm sure they were good and they were holy and pure. But the Rosh Hashanah wants us to learn a little bit tonight, so I'm going to try a few minutes. I'm going to take a little bit of a trip. I want to go with you. To go with you on a trip. We'll begin in Prague. And from Prague, we're going to go to Poland. And from Poland, we're going to go to Ukraine. And from Ukraine, to go to Russia. And of course, we always end in Yerushalayim. So let's begin our journey. In Prague, of course, is the light and the holiness of the Maharal, Schusi Galenu, which is his yard site on Chaya El. And the Maharal is explaining the mission in Pirkei Avos. That everybody's familiar with, the Mishnah says, "Shein cha'adam she'ein lo sha." Every person has his hour, his moment of glory. "Ve'en l'chadavish she'ein lo mokum." "Ve'en l'chadavish she'ein lo mokum" means that everything has a place. And the Maharal writes over there in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, "Ki ein lo cha'adam she'ein lo mokum b'fnei atzma." The Maharal extends the Mishnah and tells us that every person also in this world has his own place, his own space. And that person must have his place, he must have his space. There's even an expression now, "I need my space, this is my space." Everybody has to have his and her space and place in this world. And we see that Hashem has been kaveya, has established this in the nature of a human being. That a person needs to have a roof over his head, her head. The frantic weeks before school begins, scrambling to find a place for that child in school, in that school, in that class, a place on the bus, a place with the boys. It was a big, big thing. It still is a big thing. Your place on the team. What position you play. Everybody needs to have a makom. My father, Zichron Levracha, used to tell us that during the war, there were two deprivations that were most unbearable. The first, of course, was food. They were starving to death. And the second was that homelessness, being without a place, not having a place. The third was shoes. not having a place. Women in particular are very, very deeply tied to the place, to a makom, and therefore spend a great deal of time in a good way, and sometimes in a way that's a little bit exaggerated, embellishing the place, embellishing their place in this world. But we understand that it's not just, I'm not talking here just about a particular place in shul. People fight for a certain place in shul. What's my makom in shul? What's my place? It's much more of a metaphysical place that people need. Of course, they need that dalet al dalet, those four amos by four amos. But it's much deeper than that. When a person says, I don't feel that my place is in this neighborhood, they're not talking about geography or real estate. They're talking about something else. It's not my place. Well, this shul is not my place. Chalila, I don't feel that this marriage that I'm in is my place. There are Jews that are living like ourselves. Most of us are living in Chutz Laaretz for many, many years. We're already here, far away from Yerushalayim. And even though we have, with Hashem's help, we have our homes, we have our places to live here in Chutz Laaretz, but there are many, many Jews who in particular feel that this isn't my place. And even though you have a nice home, you're still homesick for Yerushalayim. Each one of us have a chaylik in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Rambam in Shulchan and Shutz, the Rambam in Halacha, brings down this Ashita of Abnashim Gaon from the time of the Gaon. There is a view in Halacha that says that halachically, and how this applies, we're not going to go into it now, but halachically, since the time that Yeshua and the Jewish people conquered Eretz Yisrael and the land was divided, every single Jew has a place in Eretz Yisrael. Each one of us has our dalet by dalet, our spot. You know, it's just, so we don't know where that is. We'll find out when Mashiach comes. But we each have our place in Eretz Yisrael. And we feel that we're not in our place. So the reason that we're talking about this now is because there's a revelation from the Ari HaKadosh, from the Arizal, that we've spoken about many times over the years. I think that many of you have heard this. That one of the Ramos and one of the hints of this time of the year of El, one of the Ramos of El is referring to a person's place. The Torah is talking about, the Torah speaks about it in a number of parashiyos, but a person who is a fugitive, somebody who has accidentally killed somebody. On a deeper level, it means that all of us have had mistakes and made mistakes in our lives. We've hurt friends, we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt Hashem Kivyachal. And you all know that the Torah tells us that there's a person like this who's a fugitive. He's running away from his home, and he's looking for a place to go, for one of the Ari Mikla. And here we have a remarkable remez, a hint from the Ari HaKadosh. The Arizal says on the pasuk Vayishalot Sado v'Elokim Ina liyado v'samti lochamakom hashayonus sham. It means that this fugitive, this person who made a mistake, he didn't mean to hurt anybody, but something went wrong in his life. Just like we don't mean to do things that are wrong, we make mistakes, and this person is running for his life. And it says in the Torah Vayishalot Sado, he didn't intentionally kill that person. So v'alukim, and because of that, Hashem knows that we really are very, very good. So v'alukim in liyado v'samti luchamakom. So ina liyado, Hashem brings him to this place. V'samti lucha is elu. Ina liyado v'samti lucha aluf lamed vav lamed is elu. V'samti luchamakom ashayon l'sham. That Hashem has a place for this homeless person to run to, a place for him to go to be, to hide. So here this Vasem brings from his grandfather in Chodesh Aram a teaching that's found in a number of places. We have a tradition goes back all the way to Bereishis. But even though there are indications in Chazal that other Mereishim, Cain, that there were people who did tshuva from the very beginning of time. But in Chumash itself, clearly spelled out in the Torah, Chazal say that Reuven was the first to be a Baal tshuva. That Reuven was filled with regret over what was happening, the terrible story that was unfolding with Yosef, his brothers. And the Torah tells us, the Torah tells us that Reuven said, "Hayelad einenu, va'ani ana aniba." Hayelad einenu, the child, our brother, Hayelad einenu. So the Svarim tell us this on a deeper level, talking about each person, that the innocence of when I was a little boy, when I was a little girl, Hayelad einenu, va'ani ana aniba. Where will I go? Where will I go in my life? I don't have a place. Because this feeling, this Fasemis describes in the name of his grandfather, Vani Ananiva Shenomaisila Shumak. A person who looks at himself at the end of the year and is honest and recognizes that he's lost that youthful innocence, that pureness. And there's so many things during the year that he has lost. So the Sfasamis brings in a mightily shum makam. He feels uprooted. He feels that he doesn't have a makam, he doesn't have a place. Because the issue of makam, as I said before, is not just location and geography. It's to feel a certain security of being where you belong. It's knowing that you're standing in Hashem's eyes. You know, tonight's the Chavos Chaim's Yahrzeit, you know? It's the Chavos Chaim's Yahrzeit tonight. And over the years, I told many times how there was a bacher, a young man who was in charge of watching over the Chavos Chaim that night. And the Chavos Chaim, he heard the Chavos Chaim, there was some noise, some talking. He opened the door, there was thunder and lightning that night. And the Chavos Chaim was looking outside the window. And he was looking into the sky. And the bacher heard the Chavos Chaim saying, "What's the will of the Tata? Father, what do you want? What are you saying to me?" He's just looking out into the sky and watching the lightning and listening to the thunder and saying, Hashem, what's Vildatata, Roshan? Where do I stand in your eyes? The whole year, we're not so focused on that question. What is my standing? What is my place in Hashem's eyes? Am I living according to the will of my Father? Do I have good standing in his eyes? Do I have a makam? Do I have my makam in his eyes? You could have a husband and a wife where one begins to doubt whether he or she has a real makam in that person's heart. A makam in that person's heart. Hashem, do I have a makam in your eyes and in your heart? So the Sfasemis says that this is what Reuven was saying. Va'ani ana ani ba. After the whole thing that happened with Yosef, and now Yosef is missing. What happened to Yosef? And there's what happened to that child within me. Sasemis brings from his grandfather that when a person looks at himself and he sees that he's changed so much and that he's lost that internal Yosef, he doesn't have a place. He feels that he's lost his place. He's lost his makam in Hashem's world, his makam in Hashem's eyes. And he says, and that is the secret of the fugitive who's running during Elul. Ki be'emes bal tshuva she'yodea she'yodea achet, ein lo makam. When a person truly feels this regret, when he feels this homelessness, where will I go? What can I do, Hashem, to get a place, to be back in that place with you? So Sfasemis says that when a person feels that sincerely, Oz Hashem Yisbarach Nosin Lo Makom, and Hashem takes him back and makes a place for him. K'mesha Kosov, as it says in this hint of Elul, Yinu L'yadom, V'samti L'cha Makom, Asha Yonu Shama. I will carve out a place for you And you can come to that place with me, Asher Yonushon. As it says, Hashem Menusi, Hashem is the place, Hashem is the one to whom I run. Manosli, Menas Kosiv Yomeko, we say it every day. So what we've learned so far by being in Prague, by the Maharal, is that every person desperately needs to have a place. He needs to have that space in his life, both physically, emotionally, and that makom in a wife's eyes, in a husband's eyes, in a parent's eyes, in Hashem's eyes. And then we went to Poland. And in Poland, Ger Rebbe told us that the deeper meaning of Reuven's tshuva is that he felt lost and homeless. And Hashem said, if you feel that way, and if you feel that longing to return to me, then I promise you, v'samti lecha makom. I think many of you know the story. I'm saying everything very quickly tonight. That when the Alter Rebbe Sussalani, when the Baal Tanya was in prison, in the terrible island outside, off of the mainland of St. Petersburg, you know, the guards there, the Russian guards, had more than just Derech Eretz of the Baal Tanya. They saw he was a holy person. They were actually terrified of him. And there are many stories about that time that he was in jail. And when he left jail, Pada B'Shalom Nafshi Mikravli, which you know the Chassidim celebrate on Yad Kislev, Yates Kislev. So one of the stories that we have that is, I think, probably the most famous story is that the guard loved talking through the prison, the little window. He loved talking to the Baal Tanya, to the Alter Rebbe. He saw that he was a brilliant and holy person, and he liked asking him questions and making conversation. So one day, he said, Rebbe, could I ask you something? And Rebbe said, sure, what is it? And he said, I never understood. I studied Bible my whole life, and I never understood that the Torah, when it says in the Bible that Adam was hiding, that Adam was hiding in the garden, Hashem asked him, what? Ayaka, where are you? So how could that be that God didn't know where Adam was hiding? How could it be that God would ask Ayaka, where are you? God knows everything. Doesn't he see everything? So he asked that question of the Baal Tanya, the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe said, first let me ask you, do you believe in God? And this guard said, yes, I absolutely believe in God. And do you believe that God knows and sees everything? And he said, Rebbe, that's what I'm asking. I do believe that. So the Alter Rebbe said, then I'll tell you what it means. When God asked Adam, where are you? He wasn't asking him, where do you live? He wasn't asking him for an address or an email. He wasn't asking him where. He was asking him, what happened to you? What happened to the person that I know? What happened to the person that I created? As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Anna Talibcha. I know where you are, but where's your heart? What happened to you? How did I lose you? How did you get so far plunged? How did you get so lost that you think that you could hide from me? Ayaka, where are you? During this time of the year, a sincere Jew has to listen and hear that and has to ask that question. And hear Hashem asking him that question. Where am I? And Hashem asking him, where are you? Where are you? What's your makom? Where is your makom? So now we're going to learn something remarkable. We're going to move from Poland, from Ger, right outside of Warsaw. We're going to go to a place that's pretty dangerous these days. But there's a lot of chevra that are going, and Hashem shall watch over each and every one of them. That's to Uman. We're going to go to Rebbe Nachman. We're going to go to Ukraine. It's such a miserable place, Ukraine. There's such great tzaddikim over there. Without a question, the most famous Torah in all Luke Demaran, this is usually the first one that we learn with people who finally open up their eyes to realize that all of their lives they've been waiting to meet Rebbe Nachman. Because every Jew is waiting all of his life to meet Rebbe Nachman. It's just a question of time. Everybody is waiting to meet Rebbe Nachman. The ones who are against Rebbe Nachman just haven't met him. Once they meet him, it's a different story. So there is one Torah from Rabbi Nachman. That's the first Torah that we learn. And Rabbi Nachman told Rabbi Nosson and said many times that he wants the Chassidim to live with this Torah, that they should learn all of his teachings. But this teaching, wherever they go in life, they have to take this teaching with them, wherever they go. Whenever they're on the road, whenever they're not home, to take this teaching with them. That's what we're talking about. Being at home when you're away from home, finding your place. And that, of course, is the Torah that's called Azamra, Resh Pei Beis. Again, I'm hoping that many of you have learned Resh Pei Beis. Are you familiar with it? I can only read two or three sentences from Azamra. The Idach, as it says in the Gemara, the rest, Zil Gemara, you have to go learn on your own. Resh Pei Beis, in Lukut Amaran, Da. And when Rabbi Nachman begins the Torah, and the Torah begins with the word Da, and you should know, we have a tradition that he was taking it down from the highest place where a human being could possibly go. Da, and you should know. In other words, Rabbi Nachman went someplace to bring this down. This Torah, Da, and you should know. Kitzor Chalodim is called Odom Lekav Schus. We have to judge each and every person, including ourselves, Lekav Schus. Lekav Schus. In the way of Schus. Vafil Mishu Rosh Agam. And even a person who seems to be entirely wicked, entirely evil. Sarach lechapes v'limsa be'ezem ma'atayv. We have to look and dig deep to find ezem ma'atayv. Mashal, to find ma'atayv, something in that person. That's good. You remember this? It's a famous term. Shev oisa ma'at ena rosh. And in that little bit, he's not a Rasha. She's not a Rashanta. In that little Tov, by the Zeshem, might say, Ma'at Tov. And if you're able to find that little bit of Tov, sometimes you have to work so hard. I was told by Slichas, the Bar of the Bells are making a pilgrim. Sometimes it's so hard to find that Ma'at Tov. This time I'll read you a poem at the end about that. But if you find that, by the Zeshem, might say, Ma'at Tov, Vidon, Oisel Kafskus, and you take that little bit of Tov, and you focus on it, and you build on that little bit of Tov, you could make that person mamish. You could change that person's life. If he sees that you see that in him, if your child sees that you see, every teacher has said, get him out of here. He's not teachable. He cannot be in this school. We try this, we try that, we try it. It's not shaykh, he can't stay in the yeshiva. And every single therapist, the doctor, all the king's horses and all the king's men said, we can't put this kid together again, he's nuts. There's nothing we can do for your kid, sorry, good luck. Home, teaching, do whatever you want with him. He can't be in a building. He can't be with other children. But the mother, Ima. The mother is able to always find the ma'at tov. And as long as a child knows that my mother and my father, but especially the mother, is able to see the ma'at tov that's inside of me, that tov that I haven't been able to trick her to believe like other people have to convince that I'm not good, but my mother knows that I'm good, that I have that inside of me that's good. As long as the child sees that and knows that the mother believes that, or the father believes that, or the Rebbe believes that, whoever it is, or that good friend. V'yuchal hashiva b'tshuva. That's the key to bringing a person back. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you have to teach that person necessarily any lessons. By that energy of belief itself, Rabbi Nachman says, you turn that person's life around. V'zebuchinas, now here's where we come to back to our subject for now, which is Mokum, a place. Rabbi Nachman brings the pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Va'od ma'at ve'ein Rasha. Soon, there will no longer be a Rasha. Soon the Rasha will be gone. The wicked one, the evil one will be gone. Now the simple pshat is that, you know, the bad people in the world, Hashem's going to throw them out. Va'od ma'at ve'ein Rasha. If you find that little od ma'at in the person, in your child, in your husband, in your wife, in your friend, in your parent, here comes Inyash Vigyuni Madhama. If you find that, I love Madhama. If you find that little bit of Tov, then what? Hizmonanta, it says in the Pasuk, V'od Ma'at V'ein Rasha. If you're able to find that, if you're able to find that, that Od Ma'at, then you know what's going to happen? An amazing thing. Ein Rasha. The Rasha will begin, that Rasha will begin to disappear. Ein Rasha. V'hizbonanta al mekomo, and when you look at his old place, the place of what? That dark, angry, resentful, rebellious place. It says in Pasuk, Vizbonanta al makamo ve'einenu. Veloshan. He's not in his old place. Shesar hatalofak esh bo od ma'atov. Sheesh bo adayin. Shesham ein lo roshan. When you do that, you're able to lift him up mamish from kaf choyvet kafskos, from being guilty to being holy and innocent and pure. Until the person will actually be zeichet to do tshuva, to return to Hashem. And that's how he ends this paragraph. V'zbonanta al makomo ve'inenu. When Don Amel said that, haynu. K'shetizbonin v'tistakil al makomo madrigoso. When you look at this person's old place, remember, place here doesn't mean just a physical place where you live. It means your place on a deeper level, that metaphysical space that a person occupies. Ve'enenu shama alakom harisha. He's not there anymore. Ka'idei shemaitzin ba'od ma'atov is when you find that little bit of good. Is in a kuda toiva, donos al kafskos, and there's a moisino so the emes and kafkur the kafskos, is benatim will come of the ainen. And then the whole Torah goes on to explain this. What Rabbi Nachman is teaching us is an astonishing thing. What he's saying, in effect, is that each one of us has two places. We're talking about a makom. Rabbi Nachman is saying that each one of us has two places. There are two makoms. There's one makom that we can call the actual makom that you and I occupy in our lives, the way that we present. We can call that the makom hatachton, lowercase space. Lowercase space means that the way that we present to the world, the way that we appear with all of our faults, all of the silliness, and all of the ugliness, and so on, the makom hatachton. And then there's that higher case space, that makom ha'elyon, that place from which the neshama comes, the sheresh of the neshama, which is kedushas Yisrael. Rabbi Nosson wrote a lot about this at the very beginning of his sefer. Rabbi Nachman's a great student, in the beginning of Lukta Halachas, and he talks about the pasuk in Shir Shirim that you all know: Shchara ani v'nama. I am dark, I am black, but I am beautiful. So there's that lower place in life that's called Shchor, that darker place in life. And then there's that Venava, then there's that higher Makom that could be that every teacher and every principal doesn't see in that child. From where that child comes, that the mother knows, that Makom Ha'elyon, that higher place. And what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that in life, as we go through our lives and we just look over this past year, There are certain days that we can't help but feeling. Looking back on a day, and if a person's honest and makes a little bit of a cheshbon ha'nefesh, an accounting of one's soul, and that day what happened, there were words that were spoken that shouldn't have been said. There are things that were done, thoughts and so on, that were mamish from that makom hatachton, that were from that lower part of who we are, that lower place. And when a person looks at himself, and it seems to him that lower place defines who he is. Ad kedekach, that he too is hiding in the garden of this world. There are many places to hide in this world. There have never been more places, because every time you pick up that thing, you could hide all over and you don't have to even move. There's so many places to hide. Because he's running away from Hashem, who's asking the question, Ayaka, where are you? that's not your true place. I don't look at you that way. Like Hashem said to Adam, when Adam said, I was hiding because ki'erem anochi, because I'm naked. And again, he wasn't just talking about his clothing, he was talking about I'm a nobody, I'm worthless. I'm worthless, I'm naked, I have nothing in my life, I'm worthless. And Hashem said, mehigilach ki'erem, who told you that you're worthless? I just said, don't do this, he did it, let's talk. We can work it out. We can work it out. There's tshuva, there's elul, there's shavas, there's slichas, there's yom kippur. We can work it out. I never told you that. You feel that way because you've gotten stuck in that place, hiding among the trees in the garden, and you're convinced that that is what defines who you are. But like Rabbi Nachman just taught us from the pasuk in Tehillim, v'hisbonanta al makom. You have to look very, very deeply and carefully at who you really are. And if you look at that place, because Rabbi Nachman says in his Torah, it's not just judging another person, lekavskos. It's looking at yourself, lekavskos. It's being able to look at yourself in that way. Or as Rav Kook writes about it, it's true, being able to forgive oneself. You can't be forgiving of other people if you hate yourself. If you hate yourself, you hate other people. If you're unforgiving with yourself, you're unforgiving with other people, you're unforgiving with Hashem's world. So v'hisbananta al makomo means you have a choice. You either look at yourself in that lower way, in that lowercase way, in that makom atachton, in that place that's called the place of the rasha, and you define yourself by that place that you're hiding, that's ugly and that's dark and that's all kinds of silly and unattractive things that have taken place, and you are now on the run, you're a fugitive, you don't have a makom, you're like a Cain, when Cain was running away. So Cain himself said, Hengerashto, see how you're out in the Adama. You have cast me away, you have thrown me away. I was kicked out of Gan Eden, me panecha, the saucer, and I'm going, and I'm hiding from you. Vayisi nav and nad ba'aretz, and I'm a wanderer, I don't have a place. I've lost my standing in your eyes. You look at me, Hashem, and you hate me. And therefore, I don't want to hear your questions. I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to hear your voice, because I know what you're going to tell me, that you hate me. And Hashem is working to say, I never said such a thing. I don't think that about you at all. And therefore, Rabbi Nassim says, Shiyar b'las asmo leilechim. Rabbi Nachman used to say, Shiyar b'las asmo leilechim ha-Torah ha-Zamra, that a Jew has to live every moment of his life, wherever you are. Take this Torah of Reish Pei Pei Zazamra, take it with you. And remind yourself that wherever you are in the world, even if you're in the lowest place in the world, in the lowest time in your life, remember that you have a place with Hashem as long as you're honest and you listen and you answer that question honestly, Ayeka, and you ask Hashem to take you back home, that you have a place. And Hashem says to you, V'samti lucha makom. You're not a fugitive. You're not homeless. You're not a refugee. V'samti lucha makom. I have a place for you. Because I look at you the way that your mother looks at you. Even though the whole world doesn't see you for who you are, I look at you for who you really are. And Visbananta amakomu ve'ineru, and the rush is no longer there in that place. So going back to Poland, to Ger, Shenemoisel eshum makom etzias ba'olam ha'idei achet, ha'yelad enenu v'ani, Reuven said, ha'yelad enenu v'ani, ana ani ba, where am I going to go, where can I turn? So Hashem Yisbar says, v'snapi l'famokom, I have a place for you. So let's end our trip. There's much to talk about, much more here to talk about, but I want to conclude. I told once a story of we're going to end in Russia. I mean, not Chas Shalom, just end in Russia. In Russia, there were many great tzaddikim. And Russia, of course, is the place of the tzaddikim, the Nesiim from Chabad, from Lubavitch. And there was the Rebbe Rashab Sulsky Land, the Rebbe of Shalom Dovber. Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch. And I once told this story here some years ago in Shul, that there were two friends who traveled all the way from Odessa. Anybody here from Odessa? Okay, so I have to be a little bit careful. Odessa never had a good reputation among Jews. as a place of Yiddishkeit, of strong Yiddishkeit. You would probably agree with it, even though you're young, so you don't know what it was like back in the good old days of the Yimach Shemamikas, of Stalin and his Chaver. But Odessa was, even before that, it was a difficult place for Yiddishkeit. You don't hear stories about the Odessa Rav, or the Rebbes and Tzaddikim from Odessa. They would stop by to go a little bit to the resort and to be by the beach, but other than that, it was not a place where Yiddishkeit was thriving by any stretch of the imagination. So there were two Jews who came from Odessa to Lubavitch. They heard so much about the Rebbe Yoshav, the Rebbe from Lubavitch, and they were traveling, whatever, some business, they decided they're going to stop off in this little village, Lubavitch, to meet the great Tzaddik. So the first fellow went in, and they were talking a little bit, and the Rebbe asked him, "And where do you come from?" "Favikim Stayid," right? That's what we ask each other. "Where does a Jew come from?" So he said, "I come from Odessa." And the Rebbe asked him, "Tell me, how is it with our brothers and sisters in Odessa? How are they doing?" So this Jew said, let's call him Avram, we'll call this Ben Yisrael. So Avram said, "Rebbe, look, we have Baruch Hashem. We have a mikveh that's running. We have a Talmud Torah, a cheder. And there is a shiur, there is a class in Gemara every night. We have a minyan. Life isn't easy, but we're managing to keep the fire burning." And the Rebbe Rashab said, "Sorry." The Rebbe was very happy with that, and he gave him 100 rubles, which is a nice amount of money. He said, for himself, and also to give him something extra, that when you get back to Odessa, give to some poor people that you see in Odessa. Wow, okay. He gave him a big brachy. The guy was thrilled. He comes out to his friend Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, "What happened to Rebbe?" He said, "It doesn't." The Rebbe asked me, "It's not." And I told him. He said what he told him. And then it was his turn. So Yitzchak comes into Rebbe Rashab. And the Rebbe Rashab is talking to him, the family, and tell me, from Bikim Stayid, from where do you come? He says, "I come from Odessa." So, tell me, what's doing with our brothers and sisters in Odessa? How are they? So he says, "What should I tell you, Rebbe? The gambling halls, the casinos, and the bars are filled with Jews. Filled with Jews. There's hardly a word of Torah that's spoken in the entire city. There was a Rav, and the Rav was thrown out of the shul. There's machlekes." So the Rebbe gave him a brach, the Shema Tzlich, and Parnasa, and everything, and he gave him 1 ruble. 1 ruble, he says, "Here goes a day, here's a ruble for you." So this man couldn't believe it. Yitzchak was beside himself. And Yitzchak said, "Hold on, Rebbe, I don't understand. My friend that was here before, Ramallah, he's from Odessa." The Rebbe said, "I know, he told me." And he told you all these bogomices, like Kilo, Odessa is some sort of a Vilna or Yerushalayim. And you gave him 100 rubles for a lie. And me, I told you the truth about Odessa, and I got 1 ruble. So the Rebbe said to him, "You think I don't know what's going on in Odessa? Before I met Avram, your buddy, and before I ever spoke to you, I know exactly what's happening in Odessa. Then why did you," the man asks, "then why did you ask Avramala and me about life in Odessa?" So the Rebbe said, "Because there are 2 Odessas. There's the higher Odessa, and there's the lower Odessa. And I wanted to know which one each one of you lives in. Your friend Avramala lives in the same town as you, with the same Jews, with all the same places and experiences as you. But your friend Avramala, his place, his welcome, is the higher Odessa. You, unfortunately, have chosen to live in the lower Odessa. I strongly urge you to move in with your friend Avramelech to the Odessa Ha'elyon, to that higher place of Odessa. So here, I'll end with a poem. It takes a second. Am I way over? You know, I often read here poems. Now we're coming to Yerushalayim. We have to always end with the shul trips. The guys, we always end in Yerushalayim. We go through all these bad places. By the tzaddikim, those are good places, but in these scary places, but we always come to Yerushalayim. So there was a wonderful woman. Her pen name is Ruth Lewis. She had many pen names. Her real name is Sarah Rosenblatt. And she has written some beautiful poems. She passed away a few years ago. I never met her. We never met her, but we love her poems. And we've been told for the past few years that they're compiling the old poems with new poems. And I was told already 5 years ago it's coming out any day. So the book is called Memo to Self. And it's a tiny little poem. I just saw it right before I came down. I just opened it up and I said, show me a little thing from Ruth Lewis that I can share with the Chevra today. And I read it to you. She was a real all-American girl that actually was in a marching band by President Kennedy's inauguration. She was a real American girl from Baltimore that ended up being a breslover chassid in Yerushalayim, a chassidista. Her own children, a chassidim that didn't even know that their mother was writing poetry in English over the years. Her poems are delightful. It's the story of children. Her poems are all the story of raising children and struggling between those worlds of this American cheerleader and being a breslover chassidista in Yerushalayim, Meir Shar. And then when she died a few years ago, she wasn't very old. So this one is called People. Most people are awful, just awful. Pathetic, self-deluded, self-absorbed. At best, there's one point of redeeming grace amidst the garbage. Find it, hold it, watch it grow. She didn't mean that. It's very harsh, the first couple of words. What she was saying is that when we first see a person, and we look at that person's mother, when we look at ourselves after the year, we feel like Ruvain, Rani, Ana, Aniba, Eni Makom, Eni Makom. And the instinct then is just to hide and talk about Nairishkeit, all Rosh Hashanah, and about, you know, just the menu and the this and who did that, and you know, it's so hard to be in a chair and sit without a table, even my poor husband, his back is killing him and everything. To be able to face Hashem and hear Hashem's asking, so where are you? I have a place for you. But my place for you is the higher Odessa. My place for you this coming year is the higher Yerushalayim. Find that good inside of yourself. Find it, and if you see it, you'll watch it grow. Find that good inside of your kid. Find that good inside of your husband, inside of yourself. Inside of that person who you haven't spoken to for the last 20 years because. Find that inside of you and watch it grow. And Hashem should have the nachas to watch his children grow and to give him the nachas that a father has when his children love each other and get along with each other and love themselves the way that he wants us to. And we should be zeichem as Hashem that day. We'll be able to see in Hashem's eyes, to look at Hashem's eyes and to see in Melech HaMashiach's eyes the love that he has for each and every one of us. And that day of Ki'ayin V'ayin Yuh, Hashem Hashem, see we should be zeichem all of us. Amen.